The new covenant is one of those words that we talk about a lot as Christians, but we don't seem to really think through or understand what this is actually talking about. I mean, we hear Jesus say that he picks up the cup at the Lord's Supper and says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." But what does he really mean by that? Well, we can't really understand the new covenant unless we understand the old covenant. The new is contrasted to the old, and it doesn't mean that the old was bad. It just means that the new is far, far better. So how is the new covenant better than the old? This subject is really talked quite a bit about in Hebrews chapter 8, and I would encourage you to look up on the website in the New Testament preaching section the sermon on Hebrews chapter 8 to get a better feel for this. This will just be a quick survey of the two, especially emphasizing the new covenant. Wayne Grudem brings out in his systematic theology this contrast between the old and the new covenant. And I like what he says. Here's what he says on page 521. What then is the old covenant in contrast with the new covenant in Christ? Well, it's not the whole of the Old Testament, because the covenants with Abraham and David are never called old in the New Testament. Rather, only the covenant under Moses, the covenant made at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19 to 24, is called the old covenant. And he's quoting 2 Corinthians 3 there and Hebrews 8, two of the key chapters in the New Testament. And then he says, they're called the old covenant to be replaced by the new covenant in Christ. And then he mentions several of the verses that we'll look at, especially Luke 22, verse 20, where Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, how is the new covenant really related to the old? There are various views on new covenant fulfillment. We see some, more from the critical viewpoint, saying that the new covenant is actually the same thing as the old covenant that was made between Moses and Israel at Mount Sinai. And so, in essence, they're really saying there is no new covenant. Well, I see at least six problems with that I've got here on slide six. That just ignores old and new covenant distinctions in the text. And we know the old covenant was conditional, because God said to Israel, if you do these things, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. That's Deuteronomy 28. We also see, thirdly, the third problem is that the old covenant was temporal. It came to Israel in the desert, and it left. It finished at the cross when it was replaced by the new covenant. So we have a replacement here, actually. And that means the two can't be operating at the same time. The old covenant was external. It was the words of God written on stone, whereas the new covenant is internal. And the old covenant, therefore, has no enablement of the Spirit, whereas the new covenant does have enablement. The new covenant actually promises peace, prosperity, sanctuary, and the Spirit. So there are very big differences between the old and the new. Well, some say that there's no participation with it of Israel in the new covenant because, well, actually, the church alone receives the new covenant. This is a popular amillennial and postmillennial view. I think there's some problems with that as well. That just ignores the Old Testament data by equating Israel and the church. There are many distinctions between Israel and the church. Acts makes the distinctions by continually talking about the Jews and Israel. Paul makes many distinctions in Romans 9 to 11. And I see another problem here with the way that the new covenant is introduced. That doesn't fulfill the promise to Israel. Jesus was not talking to Israel and Judah when he spoke to his disciples that night and said that he was taking the new covenant. We know from Jeremiah 31:31 that God says, Behold, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Do you see, this covenant is made with Jews. So we certainly can't say that there's no participation of Israel in this. There's a present need still to know Yahweh. Whereas Jeremiah 31:34 says, he says when the new covenant is fulfilled, he says, at that time, no one will need to say, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the greatest to the least. And that certainly is not the case right now today, where all people actually know the Lord. But when the new covenant is fulfilled, that's exactly what God says is going to happen. In fact, everyone going into the kingdom, going into the millennial reign of Christ after his return, will know the Lord from the greatest to the least of them. And quite a few of them will be Jews. We also have the AD 70 Jerusalem destruction that says that where Israel lost their capital city, in contrast to what the Lord says in Jeremiah 31:40, where he says when the new covenant is in effect, people are going to be living in Jerusalem. He says, in fact, that Israel will always remain a nation before him. Look at the end of Jeremiah 31. Look at the end of Jeremiah 33. So I don't think this second view on new covenant fulfillment, the church alone view, holds water as well. Some have actually the opposite view. They would say there is no church participation because this is actually for Israel alone. So there's only a fulfillment for Israel and the new covenant. Well, that's a little difficult, isn't it? This is an older dispensational view taught by John Nelson Darby in the 1800s and followed by a few others. I think this just ignores the New Testament data. I mean, Jesus was truly, yes, he was talking to Jews when he did this in his Last Supper words. So they were Jews. But Paul states that this new covenant is truly for the church. I mean, Paul's writing the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, and he says over and over that he's a minister of the new covenant, and surely that means that the Corinthians, mostly Gentiles, are part of that new covenant. And I think to say that that's Israel alone ignores the present work of the Spirit. I mean, God's Spirit came at Pentecost, and his Spirit is working in the lives of the church, of you, of me, if you know Christ. So it would seem pretty strange that this new covenant would apply only to Israel and exclude the church. A later dispensational view was to acknowledge two new covenants. One new covenant for Israel and another new covenant for the church. And this was taught in the early 1900s by Lewis Berry Chafer, founder of Dallas Seminary. It was followed by John Walvoord and Charles Ryrie. At least initially, they followed that until Dr. Chafer's death in 1953. In fact, I remember hearing Dr. Walvoord say once when he was talking to a group of us students when I was a student at Dallas Seminary, he said, you know, I followed that idea of there being two new covenants while Dr. Chafer was living, one for Israel, one for the church. He said, and after he died, though, I began to see how stupid the view was. He was quite frank about that. And there are some difficulties with this view because we have the same terminology for the Old Covenant and the New Covenant in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In each case, it's called the New Covenant. Surely it's not talking about two different covenants. This view is too sharp of a distinction between Israel and the church because the basis of forgiveness is the same. And if there's two new covenants and there's no old covenant for the church, and the church certainly doesn't possess Israel's promises, I think it's better to just think that this view is talking about what Jesus is saying by this new covenant. Is he saying the church is participating in this covenant primarily for Israel, secondarily for the church, but the church gets in on it before Israel? This is a commonly believed perspective. I'm kind of in a majority view. In many ways here, we've got people from different perspectives holding to this because the primary future fulfillment hasn't happened yet, that of Israel. And it deals with both the Old Testament and the New Testament data. The forgiveness and the Spirit are our promised blessings right now. We experience them right now. The New Covenant has a new law. And I think really the rebuttals to all the other views will support this view. So just as we have the sign of the covenant with Noah in the rainbow, we actually have signs of the covenants with the various covenants that God has made. With Noah, Abraham, Moses, the land covenant, Davidic covenant, New Covenant, each of these has a corresponding sign, whether it be the rainbow or circumcision, Sabbath. I don't really know of any sign relating to the land. But Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. I think that's a sign that God is, at least to some extent, fulfilling the Davidic covenant, although this promise of a political rule to a descendant of David where he sits on the throne of David, that would be the earth, is still in the future. But the new covenant, the cup of the Lord's Supper, is indeed that sign. So we have an old covenant for Israel, and we have the new covenant for the church now, Jew and Gentile, but many more Jews will believe in Christ during the tribulation. So they will participate in this new covenant after us. Paul mentions several contrasts between the old and the new covenants in 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4 that you can see that I've listed on slide 13. These are wonderful. In fact, the left-hand column of all the old covenant things are really not that bad, but the new covenant is far better. Because as Hebrews 8:10 saying, quoting Jeremiah 31, I will put my law in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. So how is the new covenant better? Well, the main idea of Hebrews 8 is that our better priest gives us a better relationship with God. Israel truly had a relationship with God in the Old Testament, but they didn't have the priest Jesus mediating that covenant, that old covenant. Moses died, who was the mediator of the old covenant, but Jesus lives on. And Jesus is certainly better than any religion, Judaism or any other religion. So the question for us is, you know, or for you and for me, do you relate to Jesus as your compassionate high priest? The issue here is relationship, not rituals. So which covenant is reflected in your life? As you look at your life, even your Christian life, is it basically just a set of a bunch of rules like we have more so in the old covenant? Are you in the covenant of the Spirit of God, where He does His work in and through you to do a wonderful work? I pray that you'll live out the new covenant in your life in Jesus.